Hello, Cryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. This is episode 529 on the 2nd of July. Second half of the year, we're already broken into it. But this is the last episode we will be doing before we switch to our new format, which will be primarily like primary topics with a couple little extra news. But we're probably going to be hitting like politics news and business news and gaming news. So you look forward to next Wednesday when we start changing our new format. That'll be coming up just on the 5th. So my name is Jake Ciabarelli, and my co-host here is Blockchain John, and we have Mike in the room as well. Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, good. Guess what? It's 2 days to Independence Day. Happy 4th of July.
Exactly. If you're in the United States, then you can celebrate with us. Of course, it'll be different for different times of the day. You know, different fireworks sessions go off because it gets dark at different times. So it gets dark here up in Northern California around, what, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night? So they probably won't be starting the fireworks display until 9:30. I really feel bad about those people that are over there on the East Coast that are getting hit by all that smoke from Canada. It's going to be hard to have a fireworks display with smoke already in the air. So you guys can check out Pacific Bitcoin Festival. It's coming up here in October 5th and 6th, Los Angeles, California. That's Bitcoin only. The tickets range from $550 to $2,800, depending upon whether you want general admission or VIP. And there'll be lots of Bitcoin-related stuff. So Bitcoin only, that's the Bitcoin Festival, the Western version of it, unlike the was it B.TC, right?
You're talking about the other one?
Yeah, the other one's Bitcoin Conference, which is the 2024 event, which will be in Nashville at the end of July of next year. So you got to wait a whole year and a little less than a month. That will be in Nashville at Music City Center, 201 Rep. They just put the address up. That's cool. 201 Rep, John Lewis Way, South Nashville, Tennessee. So next year, and the prices for that range from $300 US to $4,500 US, depending upon how much VIP action you want. So with that, let's break into This Week in Crypto Twitter. John?
All right. This Week in Crypto Twitter. Brian Armstrong and Jack Dorsey blast Apple's App Store crypto clampdown. It was a relatively quiet week in the cryptoverse. The most significant bit of adoption came from Buckingham Palace on Thursday when British King Charles signed his assent to a reform bill that now recognizes crypto trading as a regulated activity. Similarly, European parliamentarians announced their own crypto-focused regulatory reforms. And there's a tweet there from Econ Committee's Press with, let's see, changes direct to CRR, CRD, yeah, okay, yeah. There was hardly discussed on Twitter, though. More attention was given to Apple's removal of a decentralized social networking app, Damas, from the App Store. Apple had given Damas a fortnight to remove its Bitcoin tipping feature via the Layer 2 Lightning Network and bring the app into compliance by integrating it with Apple's own in-house payment mechanism.
But we don't have to get into that because we have an article about it, so let's just move on.
Okay, skipping the Damas, we're going to move on to the following day. Bitcoin-loving Block CEO Jack Dorsey criticized Apple for encroaching on users' and creators' financial freedom. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong supported his argument. There's a tweet from Brian. Crypto journalist Ekin Cenk shared a chart on Monday highlighting the explosive growth of Ethereum staking over the last 2.5 years. And there's a tweet from Ekin. Yes. Lots of staking. Crypto custodian and fintech infrastructure company Prime Trust LLC landed in hot water with Nevada's financial institution division, according to Crypto Twitter news account Tier 10K. The allegations are pretty damning.
Yeah, we can talk about that on Wednesday.
There it is.
Did you guys see that video where Vitalik said only is a small percentage of ETH staked because he didn't think it's safe?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Didn't see that video either.
Solana co-founder and chief operating officer Raj Gokul got excited about Futurama's revival on Hulu. The new episodes appear to reference crypto and COVID. How very zeitgeisty.
Yep.
That day, Brian Armstrong accused the U.S. of squandering an early lead in the adoption of regulation of crypto before reiterating his tireless call for sensible regulation. Coinbase is a publicly listed U.S. company, but it has recently been expanding into other territories due to the harsh domestic regulatory climate. There's a tweet from Brian saying, "The U.S. is squandering an early lead in part because SBF embarrassed some politicians and regulators who now want to look tough on crypto. Pretty much everyone else has moved on, though, and FTX is not really discussed in UK, UAE, etc. The way to solve it is just to get sensible, blah, 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 blah."
Exactly.
Okay. Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is trying to position himself as a crypto-friendly option. It looks like he has Michael Saylor's vote. And there's a tweet from Robert. The next president will also be pro-Bitcoin president.
Hopefully.
That's a tweet from Michael Saylor. Exactly, hopefully. Speaking of Bitcoin believers, if you've been wondering what MicroStrategy's chairman's been up to lately, then wonder no more. He's still buying more Bitcoin. And here's a tweet from Michael Saylor. MicroStrategy has acquired an additional 12,333 Bitcoin for approximately $347 million at an average price of $28,136 per Bitcoin. As of June 27, 2023, MicroStrategy hodls 152,333 Bitcoin acquired for $4.52 billion at an average price of $29,668 per Bitcoin.
Quite a bit.
Wow.
It makes you wonder what he's going to do with it. He's going to build a gigantic tower to the sky, or he's going to make a house out of it. it's like... Is Michael Saylor getting into ordinals? Is that why he keeps buying Bitcoin?
Maybe. Bloomberg ETF expert Eric Balchunas explained how ARK Invest's amended proposal to the SEC for a Bitcoin spot ETF has given the company a head start on BlackRock. BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager company, stewarding a whopping $9 trillion in assets. Of the 576 ETF applications it has made to the SEC, 575 of them have been approved to date. So it makes sense that other ETF-hungry firms are looking at BlackRock's filing for tips of their own.
Yeah, a lot of people are refiling now, too.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is going to go into it, but they actually didn't get approved, so...
Yep.
Yeah. Market data from...
The SEC did say everything they can do to fix that.
What was that?
They gave him advice.
Yeah. Of course. But it still didn't work.
Yeah.
Market data from Kaiko suggests that Bitcoin correlation with tech equities has hit a 3-year low. And Kaiko tweets, #Bitcoin correlation with tech heavy Nasdaq collapsed to just 3% in June, hitting its lowest level in nearly 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, self-proclaimed internet detective exposing scams, CoffeeZilla, jumped on a bit of content by notorious influencer / scammer Logan Paul. And here's a tweet from CoffeeZilla. "Hey, Logan was promising $1.8 million in refunds to CryptoZoo victims, and 6 months later, not paying another master class in marketing, asking for all the people who got scammed by you and the criminals you hired."
Yeah, CoffeeZilla's pretty harsh there. Not to say he hasn't made a pretty good following off of him accusing scammers, because they're all scammers and they're all lying.
Hey, CoffeeZilla has a really good YouTube channel for the viewers and listeners out there. If you don't follow CoffeeZilla, definitely go to YouTube. Follow CoffeeZilla. He makes really great content.
Been following him for like 3.5 years. He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
All right, continuing on with the coins. You got anything, Mike? No?
Nope.
All right, so this week in coins... Bitcoin unmoved, but proof of work classes, Bitcoin Cash and Litecoin are mooning. This is good for those of us who wanted to go to off Bitcoin things like Bitcoin Cash. Didn't little Windex do a video on Bitcoin Cash? Remember that, John?
Yeah, he's one of the original.
Yeah, I thought it was
original cool. Bitcoin Cash influencers.
Yeah, it was cool. That video is awesome. I love it. It's so silly.
I actually haven't heard anything from that guy in the past.
Oh, he has other videos that are actually more popular than the Bitcoin Cash one. So, anyways. All right. So, market leader Bitcoin had a wobbly week this week. It peaked at a little over 31.1 31,100, and bottom around 29.9. So it's been fairly stable. Of course, with that ETF stuff, you know, the Bitcoin ETF stuff, it's going to be pushing Bitcoin to be a lot more stable because people don't want it to go too high or too low. But its variability was less.
Market makers, too.
Yeah, true. That's true. Well, it's limited to less than 2% in any given 24-hour period. After surpassing 50% market dominance last week, the top cryptocurrency settled back into a little under 50% at about 47.9, but still sustained over $9 billion in trading volume, which is good to see. Well, we got ordinals going on, and you know BRC 20, right?
Yep.
New stuff hitting Bitcoin like never before, and just finally starting to compete with its second competitor. Despite the ultimately flat week, Bitcoin is up 15% over the last 2 weeks, and up 13% over the last month, with a one-year return of more than 50%, which is typical for crypto. So you can also lose just as much. According to data from CoinGecko, it currently trades at 30,612. That would probably when this article was written, maybe higher than that now, which is more or less where it's been for the last 7 days. The number one contender, Ethereum, added about 2% over the last 7 days to trade at about 1923 on Saturday. Earlier this week, several altcoins that had been labeled as securities by the SEC, there were no significant losses among leading coins, but there were several notable rallies of more than 10% this week. Two classic proof-of-work coins ballooned after Wall Street-backed EDX markets listed them last week. Litecoin rallied 18% to a little over $100, and Bitcoin Cash blew up to 50% to almost $300. This week in headlines. On Monday, Swiss Bank National Chairman Thomas Jordan, speaking at the Point Zero Forum in Zurich, said that a central bank digital currency will be tested on the country's first regulated crypto exchange called SIX Digital Exchange, or SDX. I don't know, those sounds that sound like FTX, you should just stay away from that. Jordan was adamant that it was more than a mere trial balloon. Quote, "This is just an experiment. It will be real money equivalent to bank reserves," end quote, he told all attendees. And the second quote, "The objective is to test real transactions with market participants." Same day as HSBC Hong Kong customers became eligible to trade Bitcoin and Ethereum futures, exchange-traded funds, ETFs, on the bank's Easy Invest mobile app. So yes, there's ETFs elsewhere, just not in the US yet. On Tuesday, the European Parliament's Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee announced that, via Twitter, that it reached a consensus on changes to the Capital Requirements Regulation and Directive, including new regulations for crypto assets. This move came in response to lawmakers' calls for stringent rules to prevent unbacked cryptocurrencies from infiltrating the traditional financial system. I can understand their concern. The Bank of England's director of FinTech said, meanwhile, that the British Central Bank was open to the possibility that a British CBDC, or Bitcoin, may not be blockchain-based. That sounds very, very governmental, like, oh, we don't want it on a blockchain. The official added that there was a conflict at a recent meetings of technologists hosted by the bank to discuss this matter. None of them agreed with each other at any point, he said, adding that the forum contributors were not convinced that distributed ledgers offered more efficiency over conventional ledgers. Of course they didn't. Why would a traditionalist about fiat like a CBDC? Over in Canada, a group of 30 lawmakers published a report endorsing cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology with 16 recommendations for the country's government to create a national strategy for crypto. The group said the industry has significant long-term economic and job creation opportunities. I agree with them. On Thursday, the Financial Services and Markets Act 2023 was granted royal assent by King Charles, officially enshrining new law, according to a press release by the UK government. Under the reform bill, crypto trading is recognized as a regulated financial activity, which means you can trade it in the regular market. And the amended act defines crypto assets as the cryptographically secure digital representation of value or contractual rights, end quote, considering them as a regulated financial instruments, products, and or investments. Finally, the industry is still reeling from the news of a fortnight ago when the world's largest asset management company, BlackRock, has applied to the SEC for a spot Bitcoin ETF. BlackRock has applied to the SEC with 576 times and only one rejection thus far. This week, Fidelity and ARK Invest became the latest companies to redouble their efforts with their own ETF applications since BlackRock News, joining companies like Invesco, WisdomTree, Valkyrie, and Bitwise. However, on Friday, reports appeared to indicate that insiders, the chief U.S. securities regulator, believe BlackRock's and Fidelity's applications, and by extension everyone else's, are inadequate. Take your Viagra, guys, and get back up there. You're half stack or half staff too short. Try again, BlackRock. Your $9 trillion is not impressing us. The United States made your money, after all. So, moving on to Bitcoin-friendly Domus. John?
Bitcoin-friendly Domus will remain on Apple Store with core features removed. Okay, so this is an update from last week's episode. So we did talk about Domus and Apple's little dilemma they were having. Of course, we're talking about how Apple wants that 30%, you know, because that's what they do, right? They want the 30% cut. And what they proposed was that basically they want to remove Lightning off of Domus and inject like Apple Pay within Domus, which is stupid. It's stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
You would have
Domus, which is Domus is literally a Nostr client. You know, Nostr is like it uses Lightning Network. Why would Domus even agree to this? If I was running Domus, I'd be like, you know what, Apple, if you don't want us, that's fine. We'll move over to Android. Because right now, Domus is not on Android. It's only iOS. So I don't know why Domus is even fighting Apple. They should just, like, screw you guys. And we'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But not just that. It's like, you know how this works, right? Apple takes 30% of everything you do, which means that if you're going to be doing a transfer of payment thing on Apple's platform, they're going to want their fee. Yeah, you can either pay us or we can break your legs. One or the other. Which do you want? Mm-hmm. My bad Italian-American accent. So, yeah. Domus is taken out the entire core of their application. And just to be on Apple.
What's crazy is that Fountain is allowed to be on... So, Fountain FM, it's basically a podcasting platform where you can tip people, okay? You can tip people on Fountain FM for their podcast, for our podcast. You can go to Fountain FM right now and tip us for episodes that we upload, right?
Right.
But it's not banned off of Apple.
Right.
Why is Domus banned and not Fountain? That doesn't make any
sense. That's a very good point. Maybe that's the way that...
Maybe they just don't know about Fountain yet.
Yeah, either that or maybe Fountain needs to talk to Domus about it.
Yeah, well...
I mean, Domus is kind of... I mean, it's obviously on Nostr, but it's kind of like tipping on Reddit, right? Or is it the same kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, similar to that. Yeah.
So
anybody can anybody can make posts on there, any kind of content. You can put images, you know, GIFs.
Yeah.
Really good topics. People write really good articles on there, and then if it's really good and I like your content, cool. You know what? I'll send you a zap, a few satoshis your way. Yeah. Cool, man. I appreciate what you're doing. I encourage you to keep doing it. This is good content. Boom, there it is.
Yeah, I feel like it's like OX Publishing, way back. So OX was one of the early ones.
But this is pure Bitcoin, pure Lightning. That's what's great about this.
Yeah. Fast transfers, and it's Bitcoin, so it's familiar. So anyways, I think that's all there is for that. Let's move on to a gaming news. And we had a little bit of discussion about what this means. So Steam bans CSGO accounts worth $2 million US dollars worth of skins. I can't even imagine having that many skins, honestly, but I don't play CSGO anymore. Do NFTs fix this is the question. So, first off, $2 million. I think, as I said pre-show, that if I had like 10 grand worth of assets on CSGO, I think I'd be very concerned with getting banned. Might even file a lawsuit against Steam over this, because that's kind of BS. But $2 million, I don't even know. I couldn't even fathom having $2 million worth of assets in an account getting banned. But the fact is, or the problem herein is that Steam owns this. You have no control over it. They have control over it, and if you do something that gets you banned, you're SOL. And that's, I mean, they might, maybe they can reinstate your account, like, after 6 months or something, but that money's just sitting there doing nothing. Now, with an NFT for all those skins, if your account was banned, assuming you had some control over it, you could transfer that those funds, resell the NFTs and all those skins to someone else, or just move them to a different account, start over again. Which, of course, I realize it probably... Go ahead.
It depends on the NFT platform.
True. Maybe if it was controlled. If it's controlled by CS:GO or, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning, is that there's like something like CS:GO. They're not gonna just keep it open source. Like they're gonna be holding on to the private to the main chain keys of all the assets. So if you happen to claim those NFTs, they ultimately decide whether you withdraw it or you move them. They can still shut down your platform.
Right. I can see killing an account that was abusing the rules. I can see that. But it's so much control over so many. If you're allowed to put $2 million worth into buying skins and other features in a game, I would think you'd want to be able to get that stuff out again.
Maybe they were cheating accounts.
That's what I said. Yes, I said that. Right.
Yeah, the article doesn't state what happened or like why they're banning them. You know, that I wish there was more details on this, but there's not.
Right.
But yeah, if that's what it was, then okay, cool. I understand that's legitimate. Ban them for that. But if it's legitimately earned, and these are players, these are 40 players that have earned it over the decades, you know, over the decade. These guys play nonstop, man. There's hardcore gamers out there that play this. Like insane amounts of hours. So yeah, like what's the deal? Why is it a big concern? I understand if it's $200 worth of fiat sitting in an account, but skins, I don't know. Am I missing the point or what's
no,
the article continues. The latest set of bans come just after a month after a previous wave of bans after gambling site links were found.
Right. In that case, I completely understand what they're doing. They're using the game for a different purpose, or you know, for storing value. But at the same time, it's like if you were legitimately, I'm trying to argue for the kind of the point of NFTs. The point of NFTs is being able to transfer assets out if you get banned. Like let's say you as a person are banned from playing the game any longer, not just your account. Sorry, you broke the rules, can't come back, or maybe for a year or something. You're just going to let the money sit there? No, you're going to want to try to get your money back. Well, most people would, I'd think. And if they were NFTs and you had a way of at least getting the NFTs off, maybe not the account, maybe you can't use the account, you would just sell the NFTs to someone else, that I think would be a purpose or a valuable purpose in having that functionality. So it's like, yeah, the account's banned, but the equipment isn't. So let the equipment move somewhere else. You know, you're only banning the player, not the equipment. The equipment just happens to be something, you know, if it is illegal, totally understand it. In which case, I don't, that person who stole all that stuff, it's not their money in the first place.
Well, is it stealing or just gambling?
Well, whatever it is, it's illegal. It's against the TOS, so that's what I'm saying is it's like you're doing something that violates the TOS. And it is unfair to get your account banned, but if you're doing something that the TOS says you shouldn't be doing, then they have every right to stop you from doing that.
But continuing on with that whole thing, even if it was like they're doing illegal stuff or legal stuff, that's the ultimate, like if this has to be rebuilt on, if CS:GO has to be rebuilt on Web3,
right,
there has to ultimate freedom where not even the people, the devs are making it, can stop you from withdrawing your NFTs or your skins.
Right. It's your account. You buy stuff and put the stuff on your account, fine, it's yours. You use it as you will.
But the way that these AAA games have been going or are leaning towards, and they're still not fully out yet. We've just been reading up on articles on how these new AAA games are going to come out and they're going to tether the NFT game itself to your IP address or your device.
Yep.
Your MAC address or whatever it is, basically preventing you from sharing that one purchase with millions of people. You know, because obviously these AAA game developers, these companies want to make as much profit as they can off of.
Well, I mean, Web3. Remember what?
And it makes sense.
The advantage of a company making a bunch of NFTs is that the more times they're resold, the more money they make. You know, it's like, it's almost like saying it's the same thing as what Ticketmaster's doing and reselling their own tickets again and again and again. Even tickets that haven't yet been used, right? The NFT idea is that if you want to transfer, like let's say you just want to get, you know, you can't go and see the show, so you want to scalp it, I guess, you can transfer it. But the other neat thing about NFTs is even after the show is done, per that example, you know, and it was like a great show, maybe everybody loved it a whole lot, and then you can't ever go to that show again, so you can resell the ticket for the proof of the experience.
So last year, I think it's already been about a year, we read an article that there was game players versus NFT Web3 guys. And the biggest problem with I don't know if you can remember that, and I'm kind of butchering it, where the game players were hated the idea of
right. Of
these companies moving their products or their assets over to Web3,
mm-hmm.
because that means they're pretty much bought out. Like they can't compete with people that are
buying
thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that was the reason I said assets. The whole thing I liked about Upland, the property buying game that I play, is that there are certain things that are only for new players. Certain normal assets that everybody in the game can own, but they're only sold to new players. And that gives new players some kind of leg up. Now, if they do this to the point where it's like it's basically only for the rich, then yeah, I don't agree with it. If NFTs are just out there and buyable only by the wealthy that can just come in there with, you know, millions of dollars and just buy it all out, well, then only the rich are going to play games. And, you know, poor people just aren't going to have any advantage whatsoever. But like I said, there needs to be some level of control within the system so that you can't just, you're not just playing a rich person's game.
Yeah.
And there needs to be some level of, some way of starting at the bottom and joining the party, joining what's happening. So it's like within Upland, if you're under it's 100,000 UPIX, I think, you can still buy the cheap properties that are designated for new players. And then you can sell them to the wealthy in case they want. You know, it's like, oh, I want your property. I'll give you $200 for it or $500 for it or something. You can play it on the open market or not. But that gives you the advantage. So the same thing would have to go for any game like CSGO if they were to do that. They'd have to give some batch of NFTs available to new players. Any new player. You come in, you play, new player. But the way the Upland does it is they limit every person to only one account. So you can't game the system. If you get caught, your account will get banned. So there are certain rules that would have to be implemented. Anyways, let's move on to the other NFT article. Mike?
Yep. So this article is by Andrew Hayward. Trump NFTs are back. This time it's $50 Melania 4th of July collectibles. the Trump family is back with another round of NFTs. Just 2 months after former U.S. President Donald Trump released the second batch of NFT trading cards, which torpedoed the value of the first set in the process.
Mm-hmm.
His wife Melania has launched the set of NFTs inspired by the upcoming Independence Day holiday. Melania Trump's Solana-based NFTs, called the 7076 Collection, lean on a familiar American imagery using photos and landmarks like the Statue of Liberty, Mount Rushmore, and animated place cards. Each digital collectible sells for $50, spanning 7 designs for a total of 3,500 NFTs.
NFTs
are being sold through a what?
I don't know if this is going to be quite. I mean, obviously, they're starting at a lower price than Trump's were. The Trumps were starting at $100 a piece, Donald Trump's rather. I think in this case, it's like, I mean, she's not an unattractive woman, even though she's what, in her 50s now, but she doesn't have the infamy clout that Donald has. I mean, yes, she's married to him, but she's not like popular like he is. Well, and I don't mean NFTs, good popular, I mean bad popular.
Yeah, these NFTs are not cool. I would never, not even for a penny. Don't even airdrop it into my wallet. These are horrible. Dude, these are garbage straight up. Like, have you look at
this? Oh, I know. I looked at them.
From,
yep.
That's bad, dude. Like, no. Why is that? No. And what's crazy is that they sold out in 24 hours, and now they're being resold on second market for $1,000.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy, man.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's the infamy. Remember, not all NFTs go this way, but a lot of NFTs go this way. When you have a, like, I think it's Jake Paul or Logan Paul, that I think it was Jake Paul, who set up a set. And I'm not talking about the most recent set that he did, like, in the last 6 months. I mean, the first times NFTs hit the market back in, what, late 2020, when they really started getting popular, he made a set of 1,000 or something and sold them for $5,000 a piece or something like that. And he sold them all within 24 hours. But it feels like it's an infamy thing. It's like, oh, that person sucks. I want to buy that and resell it, you know, because it's infamous. You know, it's so bad it's good. I hate to say it that way, but I feel like that's what this is. This is so bad, and people are just like, oh god, that's like the ultimate of cringe. What do you say about it, Mike?
It's on Solana, so it's really hard for me to care.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, that's terrible. But it's like, you know, if you're buying Solana NFTs, fine. This looks pretty good for a Solana NFT. It's exactly what I would expect.
just hopefully the blockchain stays online long enough for people to actually transfer it.
No, I got a feeling sometime in the not too distant future that a lot of Solana NFTs are just going to be missing.
Yeah.
Just like, oops, how'd that happen? Their chain went down and went back up, and now we don't have all this data.
Oh, so somebody just scraped the entire chain of all the NFTs on it?
Who's going to scrape a Solana
NFT? No, I know. Chain? I'm just saying, just to mess with the people who bought them. No, I don't know. I don't know what that. I'm just saying it's obvious they don't know what they're doing. They just know that it's a money grab, and that's what happened with the first block of NFTs.
They're obviously not.
I don't even think it's her. They're just using her name.
It could be.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's what it is. They're just using her name, but it's not a lot of money. That's what. How much is it in total?
$50 times 3,500.
$175,000.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money.
No, not compared to what Trump got. I mean, Trump had 4,000 NFTs, right? And he sold them for $100 a piece. So that's almost $500,000. Or is it? No, it was 45,000 because it was for his presidency. So 45, but he kept 1,000 of them back. I know that for a fact. They didn't sell 1,000 of them. What is it? 44 times 100, that's 4.4 million. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's special perks.
Right. Well, I mean, if you had those ones,
you could go to dinner.
The Trump ones went up in price from 100 to, I think, as much as 1,000. So they definitely resold high. But like I said, it's more of an infamy thing. It's like, are you popular, whether it's good or bad? And if so, then like Kim Jong Un could probably make a crap ton of money just selling his own NFTs.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't even need Lazarus Group. Just sell, you know, Kim Jong-un NFTs, and you know people would buy them. Yeah.
NFTs, bro?
What if Kim Jong-un said, you get to have dinner with me in North Korea if you buy, you know, 1,000 of my NFTs?
1,000 of my Winnie the Pooh NFTs.
That's the president of China, not North
Korea. Yeah, my bad.
But yeah, that's what I say. These people are infamous. I mean, bad famous, and yet you know it would work. I mean, Putin could do it. You know, people would buy Putin's NFTs.
Oh heck yeah, dude!
Especially him riding a bear.
Yeah.
So people just don't have the, what's the word I'm looking for, the I don't know. It's the ego, the false ego that Trump does in order to do this kind of crap. So, all right, let's move on to another false ego weirdo. Skynet incoming. Terminator star Arnold Schwarzenegger warns of the AI threat. What? AI threat? Why would Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, he just started the movie. Doesn't mean he knows Skynet. Anyways, so Schwarzenegger drew parallels between the fictional Skynet and the real-world concern of AI developments that have been turning fantasy into reality. You know what this feels like? It feels like somebody prompted him to say this. Like, hey, you were in this movie. You should totally talk about this because people recognize your face.
Yeah, why not?
He should make some NFTs. He can make some money off. Not like he isn't already a multimillionaire, but I think he has more shame than Trump does, so he wouldn't do it. But anyway, so he's basically saying AI has real world consequences. And I would say AI has real world consequences in the fact that idiots use AI to tell them false things. I'm not saying AI is completely useless. It obviously has its functions. But a lot of people go to ChatGPT because they don't know shit. And they ask ChatGPT things that they don't know anything about. And ChatGPT gives them false answers and they think it's true. Like I said, it's not always that way. I know you guys use it for coding. It can be very valuable. I've since played with ChatGPT a little bit more myself. And I've seen its value in coding. But for things that you don't know, it's like asking Google a question and saying, you know, hey, what's this thing? And you get most of the answer, or maybe you get some of the answer, but you're never going to get the full answer, especially from something that's just adding words to the next, you know, what's the next word? So there are plenty of good AIs out there, but I don't think we're really going to ever get to what Schwarzenegger's talking about here. I really don't think this is going to happen.
No Skynet, huh?
No.
True artificial intelligence.
No. AI is still, in its own sense, pretty stupid. I don't think we'll ever actually do what the Matrix predicted would happen, and that sometime in the early 21st century we gave birth to the AI and it took over the world after 200 years. No. And if it does happen, like my bad prediction about Bitcoin, well, I'll just have to serve my robot masters the way everyone else does, as a battery pod to power the robot city.
They will put you in the pit. This is
Sparta. It'd be funny, but they'd be like 001001010111101 instead of "This is Sparta."
All right.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know if you guys have any comments on this. But
that's it.
All right. Thank you for your patronage. Thank you, everyone, for coming to our last of this type of show. We're going to be moving to a new format. Just getting over here to the C3 Media Cointree page. If you'd like to donate, we appreciate in all sorts of forms of coin, as well as Lightning. And you can obviously see us in multiple places like YouTube and Twitch and Library, as well as a whole host of different things that Spotify rebroadcasts to.
Fountain.
Yes, Fountain is one of those. You also get us on Discord if you like. Discord's a great place to meet, talk with John, myself, or Mike. And then, of course, there's other people there. It's not just us. There's also 3-3 Media tokens you can collect, which actually have value. You can actually get NFTs with those C3 Media tokens. You can come and collect them every day. Every beginning of the month, too. Do it at the beginning of the month, because John ups the rate by 400%. You get way more C3
Satoshi.
Media tokens.
That's Satoshi
yeah.
does.
Yeah, anyways. So, we're going to be changing on Wednesday, the 5th of July, to a different format. That format will be, like I said, more focused on articles explicitly. We're going to try this out, see how it goes. Instead of just reading the news, we're planning on more just discussion of the news. So we appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. Yep, new format coming. And as we say at the end of every single show, stack sats and hodl.
Adios.